In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
You know, I put my reputation behind Jimmy the Roofer, because he does a great job, not only with the roofs, but he does other things too, and he's very inexpensive, and he's a neat, clean person. He goes to these big hardware stores, you know, and he shows you the bill. He doesn't charge you extra for the material. A lot of people mark it up. He doesn't even charge you for the gas that he uses to go there. And I'm going to tell you, he'll give you the best price on a roof or anything else that you need, because he's really a man that knows how to do everything. And I can put my reputation behind Jimmy the Roofer. Why? Because this young man has been completely delivered by drugs. You've heard his testimony on the radio. And he is a man of God. He wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning worshiping God. But he is also a craftsman too. He's not only a man of God, but he's a craftsman, and he's honest. If you need work done in your house, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. I cannot talk highly enough about this young man. He has 3 children. He has a wife. And I'm telling you, I've seen him work. And he works powerfully. Like the guy across the street had his shingles blown off. And you know, Jimmy just goes and fixes them for nothing. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. He will not charge you a lot. He will give you a fair amount of money for a great amount of work. 617-519-0341 is Jimmy the Roofer. Say it one more time. 617-519-0341. And I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I do need to hear from you, especially if you've not written in a long time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. You put your check in the mail and you do it in the name of Jesus, in the holy name of Jesus. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. No check is too small. And I need your prayers, because I always am in need of your prayers. Without your prayers, I cannot continue to do this work. Please pray for this priest. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And again, Jimmy the Roofer, 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you. May he look upon you and give you his peace now. Shalom, in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Who starts galloping after him? Martha. And she runs after him and says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." She didn't say, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." She was upset. But then she said, "But I know that whatever you ask is going to be done." Jesus said, "Your brother will live. I know he's going to live on the resurrection of the last day." She knew the catechism. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" She said, "I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." She said the same thing that Peter said on Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." So she got the revelation, even as a flibbertigibbet, even as an anxious lady. So God, you know, she's not going to be cheated by the Lord. But you know what? Mary never came until she was called. And they go back and say, the Master is calling you. Now, where would you be? I know where I'd be. I wouldn't be waiting. I'd never be sitting in the house waiting to be called. You've got to be kidding. The Master is coming. He's there by the tomb. I don't run fast, but you know what? I'll run like lightning. It's my personality, I know that. That's why I can't make fun of Martha. How can you make fun of someone you're just like? But Mary chooses the better part, and Mary waits, and she waits until she's called. That's why some people never make it. You want to know why? They went, and they weren't sent. They went on their own power, and they weren't sent. You only make it when you're sent. And he knows when he wants to send us. You don't make it when you went. I just went. There's got to be a sending. There's got to be a sending. That's why I believe the church sends us. As broken as the church is, as broken as I am, as broken as the church is I am, I believe in the sending of the church. I do believe that. But I'm going to also tell you, a lot of people just went. They were never sent. And nothing happens. Like, I know that my being on radio, if I wasn't sent to do it, it would not have lasted this long. It was a gift God gave me. I was sent to do it. I had it in my being to do it. Even when I was a deacon, I had it in my being. God planted it in my being. And it wasn't so that I could become famous. What's about fame? What fame is fame? The telephone ringing at 7 o'clock and 7:10 and 7:15 and 7:20? If that's fame, I don't want it. That's certainly not fame. You know? That's not fame. People calling you every place, from every place. That's not fame. Responsibility. I never learned how to do the dishwasher because I didn't want that responsibility. I had enough responsibility. Why did I need to wash dishes with a dishwasher? I was doing everything else. I had to do it once because I was living alone. I had to learn how to do the dishwasher. You see, it's when we're sent, and then we go, then things happen. But we always have to come back. See, it's not that we just go. Like Jesus said, go ye therefore into the whole world. That's true, I believe that. But we just cannot keep on going and going and going. We have to go, and we have to come back to Him. We have to go. And we have to come back. There has to be this rhythm. Back and forth. If I ever have an order of priests, which is my dream, that I believe he planted in me, I never planted it. I've let it go 5,000 times. And whenever I let it go, it gets brought up again. And I say to the Lord, I'm 61. I'm going to be 62. You know? When is this going to be? And if it's not going to be, get it out of my head. I don't want to think about this anymore. And just when I'm not thinking about it anymore and have let it go, I talk to a bishop and he says, don't you ever let that go. That's from God. I didn't tell him I let it go. I said, yes, I did. I said, I let it go yesterday. I don't want to hear it anymore. He says, that's the devil. Imagine me telling you that's the devil. You'd usually be telling me that. Okay? So you say, okay, Lord, if this is what you want. But you see, we will be active, but if we're not people of prayer, the church doesn't need another group of pagan people who don't pray. Church doesn't need it. People don't need it. If we have another group of people that just don't spend any time with the Lord and with each other and praying with each other and praying alone, we don't need that. We got enough of that stuff. That's why nothing happens. That's why nothing happens. Because people aren't praying. They're performing functions, even holy functions. And you know, I believe that even if the priest is a Satanist, I'm not saying he is, I'm giving a stupid example, and every example limps, just like Chester on Gunsmoke. If the priest is a Satanist and celebrates the Eucharist with the intention of the church, it's still the Eucharist, but it is not fruitful to the people or to himself as if you had a priest who prays and seeks the Lord. It's the same Eucharist, but the fruit is very different. That's the way it is. That's the teaching of the church. That's not my teaching. And it's true. Let's take Peter and John. Different personalities. Peter's like Martha. Peter's always got his mouth open. He's going to say it no matter, you know, it's what you call, you know, stream of consciousness. It never, ever, ever lands in the head. It just goes right through his mind. He never thinks about it. Someone will betray me. I will never betray you. Before the cock crows, you're going to betray me. Not me. You shall not wash my feet. Peter doesn't think. Peter doesn't think. But here we have John. John's very different. John is under the cross. John is with Mary. John is where the action is. Peter is hiding. But isn't it funny that Jesus Christ doesn't pick John as the leader, but Peter? Isn't that wonderful? You know, if we were making choices, I don't know if you'd pick Peter. I don't think I would. That's like, you know, Obama, the poor bum. You know, if he really wanted to win in November, if he really wanted to win, he would have chosen Hillary. There would be no contest if he really wanted to win. Well, everybody knows that. But you know what? Whatever got in the way, I know they hate each other. Yeah. Today, when McCain chose his vice president, I know what Hillary was doing. This is wonderful, she's saying. I know. Don't tell me she was weeping tears. She could be standing up there saying, oh, we've got to get the Republicans out of the White House, and I'm for Barack Obama. Yeah. It's all phony. It's all phony. She's saying, I should be the vice president.
president. Now I should be the candidate for president.
Today, she was slapping her knee, having the best time. Saying, ah, oh, look at you, Barack, baby. All your thunder's being taken away. Don't tell me she wasn't happy. But you see, why have a winning team when you have a losing one? You know, and the same with us. We know that prayer works. We know that seeking God does things. We know that being with the Lord in silence, we hear him, and if not at the moment, we hear him later. So what do? We don't choose the right vice president. And we lose. So it is. You know, greater men than I have fallen. I am so aware of that, okay? I will not make fun of any man of God, Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox that falls. Because you know what? I've not stopped breathing at this moment. Greater men than I have fallen. It's the easiest thing in the world to fall. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, power, money, the easiest thing in the world to fall. That here you are standing in the midst of people and they think you are on a pedestal. And you know, my Lord, if I'm just like everybody else. When people forget that, I'm telling you, they're on their way down the bumble chute, down the chute into the toilet. When they forget, when God's men and God's women forget that they're just like everybody else, you want to know what? They're down for the count. When they start thinking that the miracles that are happening in their services are coming from their power, they're out of their minds. They're on the wrong boat, Charlie. Then they start deifying themselves. How can you question me? I am a man of God. Get over it. I don't know what it's like. I'm just thinking about myself right now. I'm just thinking about myself. Me. If I become high and mighty and I stop seeking the Lord, I can fall more than any other person in the whole world. It's not beyond me without the grace of God. That's why prayer keeps us honest. You know why? Because we find that most of us aren't good in it. Oh yeah, we could say, Lord, we pray him for this one, that you heal that one and this, and he does it. But when it comes to being still and knowing, I used to be in the chapel as a seminarian. There was a bishop. I won't tell you his name. I admired him. I didn't particularly like him. But I admired him. You want to know why? He would be in the chapel every day at a certain time. And he would fidget, move his legs, move the position of his seat. He would fidget and fidget and fidget. But you know what? He was there. And I admired him for it. I admired him for it because he was going to spend time with the Lord even if it killed him. It's true. I had to admire because I know he wasn't finding it easy. You can't be in the same room with somebody and know that something's happening in them. You know, they're fidgeting, they're moving their leg, and they're touching their hand, you know, they're moving their glasses and scratching their head. But then they're there. You say, you know what? A plus. Not for effort, but A plus because they sought the Lord, and the Lord will reward their seeking him. Because most people are like, you know, I don't do this well, and you know what? I'm not going to continue with it. I don't go bowling, you know why? Because all my balls go in the gutter. People say, well, go bowling and enjoy it. I can't enjoy it. All my balls go in the gutter no matter what I do. Every once in a while, they go in the middle, but then they start veering off. That's just real. Why should I go bowling? And you know, it's, you're not just bowling, you're competing. And I don't want to compete bowling. I do enough competition. And I don't want to be a loser. I don't want all these balls to say, well, then you don't know how to have fun. That's not fun for me. That might be fun for you, might not fun for me. I don't like all my balls going in the gutter. And no matter what I do, that's what happens. People say, you should practice more. Maybe. But I still know where they're going. And just because I don't pray well, doesn't mean I don't pray. See, I can do that with bowling. I can't do that with prayer. I do not have to go bowling, but I have to pray. Even though I don't do it well, even though my mind is like a mosquito, not a fly. Yesterday we were in the water, 2 days ago in the water, and there was this horse fly. I tell you, he was focused. He was so focused. He was focused on us. He wasn't going to move no matter what we did. He came, every time we threw water at him, he'd come around the other way. Every day we'd dunk under the water, he'd be there to meet us. He was focused. But a mosquito, I don't think, is very focused. My prayer or my mind, and when I go and pray, it's like a mosquito. But you know what? Even though all the balls go in the gutter of my prayer, I'm going to be there. I need to be there. And you know what? I want to be there. At least part of me does. I won't tell you all of me does, because that's a lie. Part of me wants to be there. And I just say, here I am, Lord. I'm your little mosquito. And I come to do your will. Quiet me down. Help me hear your word. I need to hear your word. I can't give what I don't have. And that's what I want to end with. My heart goes out to people so much when they start telling me their stories. And I say to the Lord, Lord, you need a holy man. But there's none to be found. These broken people. And I know brokenness because I'm just as broken. And I just go to Jesus and I say, Lord, these people need you to do something. They are so devastated. I'll do the best I can. But if you don't move, Lord, nothing's going to happen. I'll carry the water bucket. I'll tell everybody, this is where you can drink from. I carry the water bucket, tell you that he's a big God. He's a big God. But you know what? If you don't do something, it's not going to get done. I can't do it. But I know you can. And I know you can use me. And Lord, I'll step in. But never let me think that I have the ability to do these things. Because I don't. What gets done is the grace of God. Do I know that 100%? No. Do I sometimes think it's me? Yes.
But I shoo it away. Because I know, if I had to depend upon myself, I would have been dead a long time ago. I don't have the wherewithal to be in the race all these years. The Lord has kept me, and kept me for himself, by his grace alone. That's real. That's absolutely real. And I pray that he keep me until 10 minutes after I'm dead, so that I could be with him. Because it's never too late to turn away. You know, there is a deathbed temptation. Jesus had it.
Come down from the cross, if you are truly the Son of God.
One woman said to me, my aunt was dying. And I ran to her, and I ran to her bedside, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, because I know there is always, she was a doctor, a deathbed temptation. My God, you would think that he would have given up. By grace, we walk. By grace, we live. By grace, we continue. By grace, we say yes. By grace, we die. It's all by grace. But we need to say yes to the grace. I said enough.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season. Thank you.